the Tom Likas Show.
Kids rarely develop their brains. They don't have to.
And now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
No, you didn't.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. This is where you find us live, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at blowmeuptom.com. Our podcast is available on demand. Just go to premiumtom.com. That's premiumtom.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again. You and I, here we are, enjoying our time together, aren't we? We are, indeed.
Yeah.
In this segment of the we are. And in this segment of the program, we're going to do something a little different. A little different for us, anyway. We're going to welcome to the program an author who has had a best-selling book, like Forever and Ever, and our friend Adam Sachs brought him to the table. Adam, tell us about the guest you brought in here.
Well, this is someone, Tom, that I really admire. It's Shad Helmstetter. You know, we talk so much about being motivated, and we talk to all these guys calling in, Tom, all the time that are directionless and rudderless and confused about their lives. They grew up with single moms. They don't know what to do. They're all screwing up their lives. And as a lawyer, a lot of times I'm helping them pick up the pieces. And, you know, there's this kind of pop psychology thing, which is sort of like the Oprah Book Club, particularly what they call The Secret, which is especially popular among young women, where supposedly if you think about something that you really want, they have a video where she dreams about diamond earrings, and apparently if you think about it and want it badly enough, the universe will give it to you, apparently, which to me is just the biggest bunch of baloney in the world. And what's lovely about Shad Helmstetter's book, which I read years ago, and it really changed my thinking, and I think it's really an important book, which is called What to Say When You Talk to Yourself. This is about self-talk and how you build your own reality with the things that you say to yourself. And a lot of these things are based on patterns from your past and from your teachers and your parents. And if you, you know, go to a job interview and you're saying to yourself, you know, I'm never going to get the job, I'm going to screw up, they're not going to like me, that becomes real. And the opposite is true as well, of course, which is giving yourself positive thinking and saying, I know I can do this, I know it's going to work out, I'm going to make it happen. And not this BS with The Secret where you just dream about it, but actually being proactive. And apparently Shad Helmstetter has written another book, which I've read over the weekend, called The Power of Neuroplasticity, which also talks about how no matter how old you are, you can always change your thinking and you can get yourself out of bad patterns and so forth that you're in. And I think that he's a particularly relevant, Tom, on your show, because you always talk about guys, you know, trying to be successful and going out there and starting a business and overcoming perhaps some of the negative things that you heard as a younger person in childhood, perhaps, or teachers that told you, you know, you weren't good enough or you were different, or your parents telling you, you know, you're never going to amount to anything or whatever, and how important it is to overcome that. So anyway, are you there, Shad?
I am here.
Was that a fair introduction?
That was a great introduction.
Thank you.
It felt like I wrote it.
Oh, okay. I appreciate that. I'm a huge admirer.
Dr. Helmstetter, welcome to the program. We appreciate you being with us here.
It's good to be with you.
So, Tom, bombs away. Let him have
it, man. Let's talk about. All right. Well, let him have it. Let's talk about self-talk first of all, because I'm not a therapist. I'm not a professional. I'm a blabber with a microphone, and I talk to a lot of guys who have problems. I myself went through 9 years of therapy, which doesn't make me a therapist. It just makes me somebody who decided he wanted to get to know himself better and to figure out how to do that. I happen to believe most of us don't talk much to ourselves, and when we do, what we do is we repeat all of the programming that our parents gave us, rather than talking to ourselves about how to get better or all of our positive attributes. Do you agree or disagree?
I agree. And in fact, I think it might be, I think it's difficult to have an original thought. Most of the things we think are original. Okay, I'm going to think, and I'm going to think about how I feel today or what who I am and what I'm about. And we end up literally thinking about, we think the programs that we got from other people. And the real problem with that is that the programs we got from other people were actually recorded in the brain. And the brain doesn't, that part of the brain doesn't know the difference between something that's true or false or bad or good or positive or negative. It just records it. And if it's repeated often enough, the brain wires it in and then it thinks that's true. And so we end up becoming the result of the programs that we got most of.
No, I think that's so true. You know, Tom, you always talk about beating dogs, right? And that to me,
yeah,
is the
ultimate. Yeah, we talk to them all the time, beating dogs, don't we?
I know, but I feel so sorry for them when I talk to them, and it's so difficult because usually in my experience when they're calling me, I only have a few minutes to talk to them, and they're repeating these things like Shad said. You know, oh, I don't know, I don't think I can do that, I don't think I've got the guts, I don't think I can file that, I'm afraid of her reaction, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, you talk about it a lot, Tom, with business and when you do your Money Monday segments, about people that complain that they're in these bad situations at work and so forth, but they're so hesitant to make a change. And it's their self-talk that's killing them.
I think the real problem with that is that every time we repeat that thought, whatever it is, and most of those thoughts are negative. Maybe 78% of all of the programs we have that we got from other people are negative, or they're counterproductive, or they work against us. And so what happens is when we think without thinking about it, we repeat those same programs. And here's the real problem, and it's the crux of the whole thing. Every time we think something, we're literally recording it in our brain. And every time we think it again and then again, we're literally rewiring our brain. And in fact, everyone listening right now is literally rewiring their brain while they're listening. So what are you going to put into it next? We put into it next usually what we have in it most.
That's a tragedy, really, if you think about it, because so many of us have been raised by parents who, in my opinion, based on my own experience with my parents and what I've heard from other people, many parents don't think before they speak. I have a family full of people, and it's not just my own parents, who got the habit of saying to their kids, you're never going to amount to anything.
Yeah.
And people grow up believing that.
Awful.
Yeah, and that literally becomes true, and then they make it true, and they reinforce those programs, and then they'll even argue for them. They'll say, no, that's just the way I am. And it's not just the way they were born to be. Nobody is born arguing. Nobody's born smoking. Nobody's born rich or poor. We might think that because of the circumstances we were born into. But no, the fact is we were all born with pretty much the same life opportunities. Now, it doesn't mean that somebody doesn't have better chances early on or something like that. But we are clearly born to excel. And the motivational people are right about that. We're born with a great deal of promise and a great deal of potential. And when we go to the newborn infant ward at the hospital and we look through that window and we see those little infants in their little bassinets and they're hours old, and we look and if they're awake and their eyes are open, you can literally see them searching for that incredible future in front of them. And then they get the first message, and then the next message, and then the next. And I often imagined when my kids were little, my sons were little, I imagined that if I couldn't talk to them for maybe a month, I couldn't say anything, but each of them had a little bitty keyboard strapped to his little bitty chest. And instead of saying anything, I had to type whatever it was I was going to say into that keyboard, and that was plugged right into their brain, and the brain, pretty much like a computer, would record it. It literally changed and affected anything I said to my kids because I realized you would never type in stupid or dummy. Now, I wasn't saying those things, but what about when you get angry, or what if you had a long day and you're upset and your kid comes home and he's got a bad report card or he's done something wrong, and we're literally typing messages into their brains. And what we didn't realize is that their brains are they're designed to record all that stuff. and once they record it, and then we tell them the same thing again and again, so we're repeating it, that makes it stronger, and then the brain actually begins to wire connections, and it wires those messages in, and then they start repeating those things to themselves. And I think that is a bum deal, but fortunately, we've learned in new research that we can actually rewire the brain that we got, and I think that's the good news.
Yeah, I think that's...
How do we do that?
Exactly. You know, Tom, the killer about that, and it's really fascinating that Shad talks about that in his new book, there was a lot of thinking, Tom, that once you got to be, you know, 20 or 25, that was it, that you were kind of fixed, that your brain lost its plasticity. But what Mr. Helmstetter is saying is that there's still great possibility actually throughout life to break free of bad patterns.
Well, we were told, all of us were taught in school that the brain stops growing, just like you were saying, Adam, that it stops growing sometime right around or after adolescence. And then we get a certain number of neurons, and that's it. And then those neurons, that makes up our brain power, and it's going to stay with us for the rest of our life. We were told that. We were told that our IQ is fixed. We were also told that we're pretty much going to live out our DNA. So we would even check out our parents to think, okay, which one of them do I hope I got more of their genes from, one or the other? And we were taught that because that's what science believed, and they believed that because they couldn't actually look into the brain while it was working. And then computer technology and imaging technology came along, and they could finally look in and watch what was really happening, and they discovered that they were totally wrong. Number one, our IQ isn't fixed. Number two, our DNA is not set, and it does not have to control our life. Three, the brain is not fixed, wired, and that's it. Your brain, it continues to grow throughout your entire life. No matter how old you are, you'll still be creating new brain cells. And so what I've been researching now and writing about are the fun and exciting ways to grow those new brain cells so that people don't have to get up on the wrong side of their programs every morning and live with them. They can do something about them.
All right, so what can we do? Again, part of the programming we've all had is to be told that after a certain age, we become fixed in our thinking. I'm 57 years old, and I don't happen to believe that now that I am 57 years old, but that's what we've been told. And so that's part of the programming we've gotten. We've been told you can't learn languages, you can't learn how to play the piano, you can't start to play tennis, or whatever it is you think you would like to do, we're told you can't do it after a certain point. And by the same token, many of us grow up being told things that that control our entire lives. Like when my parents told me that I couldn't learn to play the piano because that was something that rich people did.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you really hit on an important thing, and that is, like, if the question is how do we start, what can we do to grow new neurons and get maybe change some of the old programs we've got? There's really two ways to look at that. One is, and the most important first step is to change your self-talk. And we used to think that, our self-talk, that's just pretty much my personality, that's who I am. But no, every one of us has the ability to edit our self-talk and to change our self-talk and to get new self-talk. And if you always keep in mind that every single thought you think literally rewires your brain. Every thought you're thinking, all of your thoughts together are rewiring your brain. So if you've got some bad beliefs about yourself and you've kind of got a feeling that maybe some of those aren't true, but it's just the way you are, the way you feel, the way you get up and think every morning. If you'd like to change that, you can actually, and this is really fascinating, you can actually practice repeating new self-talk. And it maybe sounds kind of funny at first, but you can actually, the more you repeat it, the more the brain will wire it in. And the more it wires it in, the more the brain begins to believe it. And then that's who you become. So you could say that you're literally creating the person you're going to be by what you're thinking today. So examining your self-talk, deciding to edit your self-talk, and deciding to change your self-talk, that's an important first step, and that's where I would start. The other side of it is, how do I get my brain to be sharper and smarter? And that you can actually do with activities. And interestingly, on all of the activities that I've researched that will grow new brain cells and actually make you smarter and more aware and more acute and so on, one of the first ones is to learn to play a musical instrument. And so I decided to, after all these years, that I would learn to play the piano formally. And then I studied this list, a long list of things you could do to increase your intelligence and the strength of your brain. And so I'm now learning to write with my other hand. I was left-handed all my life, so I decided to learn to write with my right hand. Another thing I did was I took up archery. And there are reasons why things like archery, which is a very precise kind of sport, it requires physical exertion, it requires focus and attention, and it requires to get good at it, it requires repetition. And if you look at it from a scientific point of view, each of those things is something that is designed to build new brain cells. And so I took up archery and other things like that. So you can study a new language. You can go back to school. There are all kinds of things. Usually the easiest way to determine whether something is going to help your brain is, are you learning something actually new, or are you just doing something you did before, but you're just doing more of it?
One of the things that changed my life, which I now recommend to other men who call me and tell me they're in a pickle, I literally got in my car and I drove to a point exactly halfway between Los Angeles and San Francisco, a town called Hanford, California, which is an exit on the I-5, and got off, checked into one of the cheap motels off the freeway. I did not unload my laptop computer that was sitting in the trunk. I left it in the car. I did not bring my cell phone in. I sat down and I engaged myself in a series of exercises, which were designed to try to remember what I thought made me special, different, and unique. I wrote a theme, 350 words, Who is Tom? And wrote it until it was complete. I wrote a series of lists, my good points, my bad points, what people think about me, what I think about myself, what I bring to the table, things I do that make people upset, angry, or make them feel put off. And after I spent a weekend with myself engaging in these exercises, and it's something I improvise in the beginning, and now for me it's something I try to do on a regular basis. It definitely helped me to realize what my potential is, to realize what I bring to the table, to be realistic about who I am as a person. And I think we are not self-examinatory. We do not look inside ourselves often enough. I think as a society, we tend to believe what advertising tells us, what marketing tells us, what our parents told us 30 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever. And I've decided that I'm going to rewrite history, in a sense. And now that has worked for me. What would work for our listener who's trying to achieve those same goals?
There's a way you can do that. I really like that idea, by the way. It's just very strong. It follows all the rules of how do you start reinventing yourself. And there is a way that people can do that. It requires the help of a friend. Let's say that you decide to go on a weekend retreat. I call it a transformational retreat, but it's just getting away, and getting away is really important. You mentioned that you went to a motel that was between the two cities?
Right. It was in the middle, literally the middle of nowhere, and right in between L.A. and San Francisco.
Yeah. Getting away like that is important, so that you don't have your normal house and home and distractions and family and stuff around you. And a retreat can be, a really effective retreat can be anywhere from, typically it's 2 days. One is a little short, but it'll work. And three is really good. And then the reason you bring a friend with you is the friend asks you questions, and the friend has to, if you have to have him sign an agreement, sign it ahead of time that he's not that friend, that facilitator who's going to help you here. He can't even raise an eyebrow in criticism. This is a weekend totally without criticism, because you're never going to open new doors if you're still looking backwards and looking at failings of the past and what doesn't work and so on. And during that time, the secret is in the questions, which you ask yourself. But the secret is in asking the right questions. And when you ask someone the right questions, and then in the transformational retreat that I recommend, you actually take a flip chart and an eagle pad, and you write out the answers. The person asking you the questions will actually write them out for you, but word for word. So the question is asked, and it starts with who you were when you were born, what your name was, and then you go through your life, the things you've done well, the things you haven't done well. You get to the point where you're looking forward and what you would like to do next. If you could do anything that's possible and actually do that and become that and make it happen, what would it be? And you start to list those things. And by the time you get done with that, you realize that, oh, my gosh, I got here. And there's a lot more I can do, and I've been selling myself short. And I think, and here's what I choose to do next. And it can be an incredible open door for people. It's really practical, and it really works.
And I think that's where a lot of people find themselves. I think a lot of people find themselves busy with their jobs, busy with their families. And now you add into that the constant interruption of your smartphone and your social networking and what have you. And I think people spend very little time.
They spend more time thinking about what they're going to wear to work in the morning than they think about who they are, why they're here, where they can go, and what they can do.
I found it to be the best gift I ever gave myself. And people take this the wrong way when I say it, but until you've done it, you can't understand it. To take time to think about myself.
Yeah,
you know, who am I?
When people first think about that, they think, well, isn't that selfish? Well, there's got to be a positive word for that. There's a time to be totally self-focused on who you are really. When you arrived on Earth, you certainly had value, and I happen to believe you even had a purpose, but that, depending on what a person believes spiritually, we recognize somehow that there's got to be a reason. There has to be some reason that I'm here, and there's something that I need to do, or maybe there are several things that I need to do. And yet we get so busy with the job and with relationships and worrying about things and dealing with finances that the last thing on the list, and it's usually the thing that's overlooked entirely, is hold it. Why am I here, really? Who am I? What do I want?
And I don't think most of us know that. I think in general, we have this idea that we want money, or we want to marry a beautiful woman, or we want to have kids. But these are very vague concepts. And I think many times we really need to focus in on not only what we want, but what do we provide to others? I don't think most of us ever think about what value we have to the people we know and the people we encounter. So the result is that we think we have nothing to offer them, and we become self-focused in a bad way.
I just have to agree. I think that a life of an attitude of service is probably one of the best attitudes a person could ever, attitudes are habits, and it's one of the best habits we could ever give ourselves, and that is, what am I doing for other people? How am I genuinely helping them? And it's pretty clear that happiness trainers, people who research and study and teach sort of the rules of happiness, are very clear that it isn't money. That ends up being way low on the list. It isn't that perfect person on our arm. It's a lot of other things that in an average day go pretty well unnoticed. And maybe it's because we're busy. I happen to believe it's because we're programmed to be busy. And when we're busy, it keeps us from thinking about who we really could become. I'm a very strong believer in figuring out who we could become.
I also think that when we think about even money or employment or a profession, we forget that all of that is about what we bring to the table. And people are always busy, and I think more now than ever, talking about what we're entitled to. You know, I deserve this, and I'm entitled to that. We never think about what we bring to the table. We never think about for an employer or for a partner or whatever. I don't think we think enough about what we have to offer. Sometimes because we don't think highly of ourselves. Sometimes because we don't think about ourselves at all. We're not at all introspective. And other times it's just because we are selfish and we just want as much money as we can get, or the best job we can get, or the best house we can get, or the hottest wife we can marry, or whatever. We don't often, I think about what we bring to the table and the reason that somebody would want to partner with us to do anything.
You see, I think that that's also just a practical thing. If you think about, you know, what Chad was saying about being religious or whatever, and I'm an atheist, but it's still the same thinking. It's you providing things to others, and that's, you know, Tom, you talk about goods and services. All these people that are complaining that they don't have a good job or they don't make enough money, it's like, what are you offering to others? In other words, if people are going to buy things from you or buy services from you or pay you, what do you bring to the table? You know, we see these unbelievably selfish women with their lists of demands, but you know, you always say to them, well, what do you have? What do you bring? And it's always a joke. It's always nothing. And we're building a whole society based on this now. And what we're talking about with this thing, Tom, that you so brilliantly invented, I guess, where you go to this motel with a legal pad and you think about yourself and write about yourself and try to kind of find your direction. I mean, in a way, it's sad because that's so obvious and people don't think of that. And I think I talk to people now that are 35 years old and 40 years old and they've never had this conversation with themselves and they're essentially directionless. And a lot of people hook up with other people. A lot of women, let's say, will marry a guy who's, you know, dominant or whatever, and they'll just follow him. And he may be a complete loser and, you know, lead them right off a cliff. But they would allow that to happen because they're not doing this self-analysis. And it's the self-talk. When you boil it down, it's still the self-talk of your mother telling you, don't do that. It's too dangerous. It's too risky. It's not going to work. You're going to hurt yourself. You're not good enough. You're not tall enough. You're not smart enough. And that's it. You've got to break free.
Adam, we were also educated to be average. I mean, that was the goal. We can say, well, no, come on. We wanted to get A's in school. No, the goal of education is to make us average, to help us become average. And so we grow up never being aware of the potential that we really have.
So what,
the
like fitting in, you mean? Being normal?
Fitting in. If we don't fit in, we fit out. So people grow up being average, and then when it comes to greedy, having to think about what they bring to the table, what they unconsciously think, what their old programs tell them is, you're average, you made it, you're okay, but that's it, that's all you are. So they don't really see the list that you can write on a legal pad by taking a weekend by yourself. They really don't believe that list is there.
Right.
That's part of our educational system.
Well, I do believe, though, that many of us believe what we were told. I believe that when our parents told us, you're never going to amount to anything. I think that is so powerful when someone says that to you. And so I think we all believe. I'm sorry, go ahead.
If you grew up in a reasonably positive home, you were told no for what you cannot do or what won't work over 148,000 times by the time you reached your 18th birthday. 148,000 no's.
Wow.
Think of the fact that
but who's counting?
One of those gets typed in. I actually think a lot. I know people who, I believe it was more than that. But whether it was more or less doesn't really count. There were literally thousands of times that we got messages that were given to us that our brain typed into, you know, we recorded it in our mental computer, and then our brain bought that as true about us. And so it's no wonder that wherever we are in our life right now, we tend to look at the worst first and the best last, we tend to believe that we're not so much, or that, and in fact, we were told every time we thought we were good or special, we were told, "Who do you think you are? You're not so special." We were told that that was wrong to think that way. And so we got another program that told us, don't even think about it. Don't even imagine that you're special or different. And that's really unfortunate, because that just fit into average. And that's why there are so many, that's one of the reasons there are so many people who are literally bummed out about life and don't feel that they have anything to offer, anything they can do about it, because no one has ever told them who they really are. No one has ever given them insight into what they or who they could become. And then they'll read a self-help book and they think, oh, well, this is for somebody else, or it's just talk. There were, for years, scientists, the whole world of neuroscience put down the concept of positive thinking. They said, no, it can't be anything to that. You can't change the brain, so positive thinking is just wishful thinking, and there's nothing to it. Well, they were wrong. The fact is that those people who wrote about positive thinking all of those years ago, they were absolutely right. I just wish that more kids had been raised recognizing that they had those qualities that those authors were talking about.
I happen to believe that an awful lot of parents are afraid to see their kids do better than they did, have a better job, make more money, live a better life. And so I think whether they're doing it consciously or not, I think an awful lot of parents are in the business of cutting their kids down to size for a variety of reasons. And I think an awful lot of people believe everything the parents say because they believe the parents have their best interests at heart. I happen to believe, and maybe I'm just jaded, or maybe it's my own personal experience, probably a little of both, I happen to believe the people who love you the most will also try to drag you down the most, primarily because they don't want you to leave home. They want you to be around. They don't want you to get snooty. They don't want you to think of yourself as being more than your parents or more than your family. So they will do things to try to drag you down. My own father told me he wouldn't help me go to college unless I lived at home. If I went away to college, he was not going to give me a dime towards my higher education. And I ended up having to leave home and say, you know what? I'm going to do it on my own regardless. And I lasted for a year and a half and I was done. But, you know, again, my father was very competitive, got very angry at other family members who had better houses, made more money. He abhorred rich people, whatever that is. And so the result was that he tried to keep a thumb on the back of my neck for as long as he possibly could. And so I tell guys out there whose parents have said, oh, don't, you know, stay home and work on in our business. Don't be going out to college. Don't be going out and thinking you're better than you are. A lot of people are conned because the people they think they love them the most are doing the most harm.
Yeah, we see that all the time, and unfortunately, that's whole program. So the parent, okay, it's like this. Let's say you're born and you have a CD-ROM, like a disc, and there's a slot, and it fits right into your slot, so you can just shove it right into your brain. And when you're born, you've got a CD-ROM, the storage part of a computer, and it's empty. There's nothing there. So our parents come along, and they know that there's nothing on our CD-ROM. So they pull out their CD-ROM and say, here, this was good enough for me. This is good enough for you. And they then proceed to give us every single program they got. And so to them, that's the truth. And then to us, that becomes the truth. And so our CD-ROM gets filled up with the same stuff that theirs had, and our teachers and friends and television and video games and all that. We get programmed all the time from everything around us, and since the brain is constantly wiring that in, it's constantly looking for new programs, so it's constantly wiring those in, and then when that CD-ROM gets filled up, it repeats itself and repeats itself and repeats itself, and that's the simplest picture of why we are the way we are, because our CD-ROM gets filled up by the people who programmed us, mostly our parents and then the other people around us. And then we started repeating that, and then that's who we became. And changing that is the key. Unfortunately, I do not believe that it's as hard to change as most people think it is. It's just their old programs telling them that they can't change it. That's the way I am. So how could it possibly change? But we now know that you can change personality. You can change attitudes anytime you want. So you can actually change your attitude any moment. I recommend that people choose their attitude for tomorrow, the night before. I love that because you go to sleep thinking about, okay, this is the way I'm going to be tomorrow. This is how I'm going to feel. This is how I'm going to look at life tomorrow. And you get up in the morning, and maybe it doesn't work that well the first day, but the second it gets better, third day, you do that for several days in a row, and your brain starts to get it, and it says, oh, I got it. Why didn't you tell me that? Why didn't you tell me that's the way you wanted me to be? Let's start programming that you into you.
Let's take a break here. We're going to come back with, of course, our friend, attorney Adam Sachs. And our guest joining us by telephone is Dr. Shad Helmstetter. And, of course, he is known for his best-selling book. And you know it. You've seen it, What to Say When You Talk to Yourself. We have a link to it on our Facebook pages, on our Twitter feed. And not only can you buy the book there, but you can learn more about our guest, Dr. Shad Helmstetter. And your telephone call is coming up as well. Here's our telephone number if you'd like to talk with our guest here at 901-3000-TOM. It's 901-3000-TOM. Call us right now at 901-3000-866.
No transmitters, no satellite dishes, no corporate bullshit. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Summer is here, and it's a great time to enjoy a new car. And our friends at Spring Honda are fully stocked to make it easy for you to drive off in one of the most reliable rides on the road. Now, Hondas, you know how I feel about them. I've had great experiences owning many of them over the years, and I highly recommend Hondas for their value and reliability. And face it, they can be fun cars to drive. Check out their selection and great prices at SpreenHonda.com. They spell it SpreenHonda.com. Now, you can drive by Spreen's huge dealership in Loma Linda or give them a call at this number, 909-799-7070. Spreen Honda. Now, they also have a huge selection of quality, affordable used cars of all major brands. It's all right there at Spreen Honda, just off the 10 freeway in Loma Linda, about 30 to 40 minutes from most parts of L.A. and O.C. Now, call or drop by today. And tell Jeff Spreen, he's a P1, by the way, and his great staff that we sent you. It's 909-799-7070. Spreen Honda, SpreenHonda at SpreenHonda.com.
We're here with Dr. Skanky Poon. He's the director of testicular abnormalities at the Poonjai Center for Ball Health. Doctor, what can you tell us about tiny ball syndrome?
Oh, totally tiny. Terribly tiny balls.
Yes, it's tiny ball syndrome.
Terribly tiny, totally tiny balls.
Well, you heard the doctor.
Terribly tiny.
Don't let it happen to you.
Tiny, tiny balls.
Newer, faster, harder. New normal rock.
Hey, P1s, our show and our company, The New Normal, are one big experiment. And whether we continue into the future depends on whether we can generate enough revenue to pay our guys and our various expenses. One painless way you can help to guarantee that we'll be here is to use the Amazon.com link at blowmeuptom.com or on our Facebook page. Now, we don't ask you to buy anything you don't want or need. By clicking on our Amazon link, you'll get the same low Amazon prices you always get. And Amazon will look exactly the same to you. But the new normal gets credit every time you visit Amazon through our link. By using the Amazon link at blowmeuptom.com, you can get computers, electronics, games, clothing, just about anything. Even groceries at ridiculously low prices. And the revenue we get from Amazon helps us to keep the number of commercials to a reasonable level. Do it while you're thinking about it. Go to blowmeuptom.com or the Tom Likas Show Facebook page and click on our Amazon links to do your Amazon shopping. And pass our link along to your friends. The Amazon.com link from blowmeuptom.com. Hey, it's the Tom Likas Show. At 901-3000-TOM, that is our telephone number. It's 901-3000-TOM. You can join us here at 901-3000-866. We are here with Dr. Shad Helmstetter. And a fascinating conversation that if you are trying to change yourself, if you're trying to grow, and many of our listeners are, there's some really interesting ideas. It's never too late to become more than what you think you are. And I tell you guys all the time, you are more than you think you are. But there's an awful lot of people out there trying to beat you down. And many times we just let ourselves get beat into submission. We're also here with attorney Adam Sachs sitting in studio. And Dr. Helmstetter, let's talk a little bit about people who don't think they stand to gain, or they don't think they can grow, or they don't believe in self-help books. They don't believe that they can be helped. They believe I was raised a certain way, and that's that. I think there's an awful lot of Americans who are close to this idea.
I think you're right, and that's their old programs talking to them. That has become them. So that's who they think they are, and so they might think, well, that would never help me, or that's just some of that self-help stuff that never works. What they're really saying is it never works for me because I don't believe in that, and because I don't believe in that, I've shut my mind to it. But something else happens to most of us. That is, even the people who have negative programs, who don't believe in themselves, there are times when there's a voice within us that says, come on, you know better than that. Why are you buying this? You know that's not true. And then, of course, the alarm clock goes off and we jump up and get ready for the next day. And we forget all about that still quiet voice that tried to suggest to us that we were really better than we've been allowing ourselves to believe. I would encourage anyone who hears that voice, and it's not a physical voice, it's a sense within us that says, wait a minute, I think I'm here for more than this. I think there's something more to life than this. Whenever you feel that way, do something that gives yourself a chance. That may be something as simple as trying the attitude idea that I mentioned earlier, where you decide for an entire day, I'm going to have an attitude that is, let's say it's an attitude of being optimistic instead of being negative. Now, when you first try those kinds of things, you might think, well, I don't notice any difference. But because of the way the brain works physically, it takes more than a moment to rewire something in the brain. It usually takes days. The old line that it takes 21 days to change a habit, there's a lot of reasons why that's true. It may even take longer than that. But if you sense ever that you're more than you are, that there's a part of you that really wants to live this life in a bigger and better way, living out more of your potential, then just make the simple choice to begin to think, to change your self-talk. Just day after day after day, begin to tell yourself what you want to believe about yourself instead of what you think you have to believe about yourself. And in time, and this is just a matter of wiring it into the brain, it's physiological. It's that you're literally changing the structure of your brain when you do that. I think, though we don't talk a lot about it, the science of success is going to become a very, very popular thing in the future. The reason it is because we're learning now that, as an example, and I won't go deeply into brain stuff at all, but people who think more positively grow more neurons in a certain part of their brain, happens to be in the left front side of their brain. You can count these neurons. They grow more of them. And people who think in the negative grow more neurons in the right prefrontal cortex of their brain. And the people who have more neurons in the left-hand side of their brain are more successful time after time after time. Now, science is starting to show us that, and when we start to hear things like that, and then we ask ourselves, wait a minute, where do I have more neurons? Do I have them in the negative side, or do I have them on the positive side? Even those of us who people who have said in the past, oh, this couldn't work, there's nothing to it, we'll start recognizing that, wait a minute, there is something to it. This is scientific. This is real. I can literally change the structure of my brain by changing the way I think. And that's a breakthrough.
I'm a reader. I've read and used many self-help books, self-instruction books, self-improvement books. I found a lot of value in most of them. Some of them not as valuable. But the most valuable thing I ever did for myself was going and seeing a therapist and spending some real time doing some really hard work. What percentage of us do you think would benefit from spending time with a professional?
I think that the therapists who are now beginning to, in fact, the direction of therapy now is going towards positive psychology, which is to begin to look more forward and instead of just looking back. And I think there's a huge benefit to just about everyone to take advantage of that kind of counseling and looking forward. There's a real crossover now between therapy, the kind you're talking about, and life coaching. The two are coming together. And what that means is more people who are going in with a problem are coming out with a goal, positive goal. And I think that's a great idea. And most people could benefit from that.
Yeah, I will say that it's the greatest thing I ever did for myself. I learned things that I use today. And in my opinion, after spending 9 years with a great therapist, I think a great therapist is somebody who gives you tools you can use for years after you walk out of that office. And that's what I had.
Your question? Tom, can
yeah.
I ask you a question?
Of course.
Did you, when you went to the therapist, did the therapist hopefully put the responsibility back on you?
Completely.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, it was about owning my mistakes, growing from having made mistakes, embracing mistakes I will make in the future, because you don't learn unless you make mistakes, not beating myself up for doing the wrong thing. These were all very important parts of my therapy.
Yeah, that sounds like good therapy.
It certainly did a lot for me. And, you know, I went about 3 times a week when I began and eventually cut it down to 1 day a week and eventually once a month. And now I go about once a year. I call it a mental tune-up. I go in like I'm taking my car in.
Yeah.
Mental tune-up.
Yeah. Now, let me tell you something, Adam. You like to know if you're on track. You like to know if you're falling off the wheels a little bit and get back on the wheels or get it back on the tracks. And it's been very valuable to me. A lot of people don't like to talk about the fact they've been to therapy. They think it's a sign of weakness. And for me, it's a sign of strength because good therapy made me stronger. It made me more certain about who I am, made me more certain about the decisions I make in life, made me feel better about myself long after I walked out of the therapist's office.
Do you know why that was good therapy? It's because your therapist, over a period of time, actually literally helped you rewire your brain. You literally rewired your brain. And that's what a good therapist will do.
I know people who I don't think are having the same great experience. People are in therapy for, I have one friend who's been in for over 30 years, going to the same therapist and going over the same ground all the time. And I think, to me, a good therapist helps you get to a point where you only need to drop in now and then. You've got the tools to cope. You've got life skills. You deal with the issues that have happened in the past. You learn to deal with challenges you're going to have in the future. And you've got tools so that you don't need to be at the therapist's office all the time anymore.
Well, one of the problems with therapy in the past, and fortunately this is changing dramatically now, and therapists a number of years ago basically talked about the abuses of the past, and what they didn't realize then, they realize now, and that is that every time you repeat the same experience, every time you imagine or repeat the same experience, you're literally wiring it into your brain again. So that program pathway in the brain gets stronger and stronger, and so people will go every Wednesday for an hour and talk to their therapist, or they used to, and repeat the same abuses of their difficult past over and over and over again, and wonder why they're not getting better and what was happening. It they were literally wiring those same experiences, those negatives, stronger and stronger and stronger. And that's why therapy now has moved toward looking forward and setting positive goals and finding value that the people have and moving them in that direction instead of just looking in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, and for me, I walked into my therapist and I had a specific goal, which I think if somebody is considering going into therapy, I think it's very important to have a goal. What are you trying to do? And what are you trying to accomplish? And then as you go to therapy, I think it's important to look and see if you're getting closer to your goal or you're not. And talk that over with your therapist as well. One of the things that worked was having great communication with my therapist to talk about when I thought things were dragging or we were not going in a positive direction or we were getting stuck in a rut. And I think when I walked into the office, I knew what I wanted to do. And when I walked out, I felt I had done it. And part of knowing you've done it is knowing you're always evolving. You're always changing. You're going to have challenges. You might want to come back to the therapist for a while and, you know, see how you're progressing or see if you've regressed at all. And, you want to know that you have made positive changes in the way you think about yourself and positive changes in your life.
Also, when you have a goal and you make the goal really clear, we've learned from research that the clearer the goal you have going in, the greater the chance there is that you'll reach that goal. And the reason for that is your brain is working on it even when you're not thinking about it. So you're getting a lot of help from your brain. You're getting a lot of help because you set the goal and made it clear. I even recommend writing those goals down in longhand on paper, and not just use a computer, but actually writing them down so you get as much of yourself involved in that goal as possible. And then I recommend something else on goals. This will help a lot of listeners, and that is when you write the goal, date it, but don't make the date part of the goal. So write the goal like 2 weigh 167 healthy pounds. That would be a good, well-written goal. Then put a date separate from that because you can always change the date. People who tie the date together with the goal, if they miss the date 3 times in a row, they failed at the goal entirely because they think they just can't do it. So the date is designed to be changed. And then one of the simplest steps you can do, and it literally helps you reach the goal, is write down a simple list, usually no more than 3 obstacles that stand between you and the goal, that things that could get in your way. And then after that, just write an action step for each one of those obstacles. And you literally have an action plan to follow, and it's tied directly to the goal. I'm a strong believer in goals.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree with you more as, someone who is not a professional and someone without a degree, but somebody who's been through this process. And having goals has been the story of my life, and everything I've achieved was by envisioning it and then realizing that it was my responsibility to roll up my sleeves and make things happen, and that there was anything I could accomplish if I was willing to work hard, provide myself the resources, give myself the space to think and to create, and it's worked every time for me.
Yeah, I can see why, and I can see why you're able to talk to people who you don't know and actually give them help along the way. And I think it's probably one of the best things you ever did was to go through that therapy yourself and to be the goal setter and reach your goal so that you could carry that message on to others.
Well,
there are a lot of people looking for it.
One of the things that I find really difficult when I recommend that people see a therapist a lot of times is that they get insulted, you know? I don't know why it has a negative connotation. It's very strange.
Every athlete has a coach, you know? Every athlete has a coach. Even the top pros have coaches. And so there's no reason at all why we shouldn't have a coach. And a therapist, a good therapist is a coach.
We're going to take a break here. We'll come back with our final moments with Dr. Shad Helmstetter. His book, The newest book from Dr. Helmstetter is The Power of Neuroplasticity, his best-selling book that everybody knows what to say when you talk to yourself. And there's a link to the Amazon page if you'd like to get a look at the books and Dr. Helmstetter. There he is, and hopefully some of you will avail yourself of the great information in these books, and there's more to come as we continue here on the Tom Likas Show. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Internet's number one call-in show, 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Here you go. Just what you need to kick off your summer. Foco Liz is back with brand new additions to the Foco clothing line at focou-focome.com. T-shirts, tops, tanks, and accessories for both guys and chicks, all designed by Liz and made with high-quality material. Grab yourself a classic tee in sizes small to double XL. Or check out the accessories, including wristbands, hats, bags, and more for you or to give as a gift. It's all Foco, and it's all at the right price. Show your support for an original P1 who has not only supported the show for years, but has fed the content kitty with those gems you'll never forget. Show her some love at focou-focome.com today. It's the complete line of everything Foco, but the ceviche, of course, at focou-focome.com.
The Tom Likas Show. We have great listeners. And that means ecstatic advertisers.
Hi, this is Adam Sachs, and I'm an attorney, and I have been advertising on the Tom Likas Show since he got started. I didn't really know what to expect when he made the transition to internet radio. I have been very pleasantly surprised. I've gotten great response and great results, and I would certainly recommend it to anyone who wants to get into the great demographic of young men 20 to 40. I certainly think that it is a great way to spend advertising money and to get great, great response.
If you can't remember the last time you got response from your advertising, brother, do you need to call the new normal now? Tap into the most responsive audience in any medium.
There's no doubt about it. I'm seeing a great return on my investment.
Hop on now and be part of new media history. It's going nowhere but up. Advertise like you mean it. Call 818-52-RADIO. 818-52-RADIO. That's the new normal at 818-52-RADIO.
Let me tell you about a new show about why you shouldn't get married or have kids. It's called I Don't, an original YouTube series from writer-director Chad Diaz and Go Boom Productions. Watch it exclusively on YouTube this 4th of July weekend. No waiting week to week for new episodes. Every episode will be available right there on YouTube beginning July 4th. The show follows a young guy who's planning to propose to his girlfriend at a family get-together, but he's confronted by his two older brothers about going through with it. One brother is happily married, and the other brother, very happily single. You can watch the trailer now on idontseries.com. That's idontseries.com. Celebrate your independence by watching I Don't this 4th of July weekend. Only on YouTube. It's the Tom Likas Show. At 901-3000, Tom, that's our telephone number here. And our final moments with Dr. Chad Helmstetter. Dr. Helmstetter, tell everybody where they can find you, your website, your books. All that treasure trove of information that's out there for the taking.
The best place to go is to Amazon for the books or any of the ebook sources, and they'll find both The Power of Neuroplasticity, the new book, as well as What to Say When You Talk to Yourself, which, by the way, has been completely updated for the ebook edition. And also, you can go to Self Talk Store, selftalkstore.com, and there you will find self-talk programs that you can download and listen to and help get that reprogramming process started.
Excellent. A great hour. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. We really appreciate it.
I've enjoyed it.
Thanks so much, Chad. Take care.
Dr. Shad Helmstetter, and of course, Tony Adam Sachs, who returns in 1 hour with his free legal questions answered for you in the area of family law. It's all coming up. Don't go anywhere.
Radio would never, ever let us do this. 901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101, news for guys. I'm Gary, he's Dino.
Yeah.
Brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com, click on the Beer Magazine banner, get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the number one selling magazine on newsstands devoted to beer. It's Beer Magazine, Christ Bearer, the rapper who chopped off his own penis, says the thing's working just fine. In fact, he apparently wants to star in porno now to prove that junk's still in working condition.
Right. I guess he, they say that he explains his cutting off of the cock as drugs as the reason behind it.
Yeah, well.
And his porno wish could possibly come true from our friend Steve Hirsch at Vivid. Who also probably catapulted our friend who got his cock cut off and then did porn. I forget the dude's name, of course, right now. But that has happened already. Dude got his dick cut off by the woman, and then he started doing porn, too. So maybe our friend Christbearer could make some more money than he can with the Wu-Tang.
Sure. Right? Yeah, well, you know, that apparently is a running theme amongst people who get their penises chopped off or drop it off themselves.
Right. You run right out and start doing the porn after it's put back on.
Yeesh. Exactly. Elton John saying that Jesus would support same-sex marriage. That's what he's got to say.
Calm down, Timson.
He believes that
John Bobbitt
knows where,
I was trying to think of
he knows where Jesus would have stood.
Yeah.
On the gay marriage issue.
Yeah, because Elton John would have sung the song for Jesus and everything would have been good.
Yeah.
Same-sex marriage, Jesus. Jesus would support that.
Elton says the new pope has excited him so much by his humanity.
It's not the first time a member of the Catholic clergy has excited someone, let me tell you.
Yay.
You could guarantee he'll be singing a song about the pope soon, too. Just like he did with Princess Diana.
Oh, yeah.
Goodbye, Marilyn Monroe. Pope Jean. Or whatever.
Pope Jean. Apparently, it's not just American apparel. For fashion retailers, sex is not selling these days, according to Forbes magazine.
American Apparel tries everything, so, if it's not working for them, it's not going to work for anybody, I'll tell you, because they really go for it.
Yeah.
If it's proof that...
Abercrombie & Fitch as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's they're all struggling. It's just not working out for
right.
them. And they,
I think people
know.
See right through it now. I mean, it's just...
Really?
It's not really working out.
You think
out.
We've grown a little?
Yeah, I mean, it's not that it's dead. However, it's just like, come on.
You ever have your penis cut off?
Time to do a video.
Really? You think that...
it's not just getting people to run out and buy clothes. It's just not working.
Right.
With your buddy Dove Charney running around with the beating off and the whole video and the whole thing. It's just not working out.
Mm. Interesting. A Virginia lawmaker, a lawyer and member of Virginia's House of Delegates, was charged Monday with having sex with a 17-year-old receptionist who worked at his law firm. And they charged him with possessing child pornography because he allegedly took some naked photos of her and shared them with some
friend.
Of his friends because he's banging a 17-year-old broad, and of course you want to share that with your friends.
It sounds like Virginia is not one of the states that is 16 because this dude's taken 17-year-old. So you would figure a dude who has a law firm, his name's on the law firm, he's
sure.
a senior partner at the law firm, you would think he would have a little bit more smarts.
Yeah, but
instead, he's the
when you
subject
got a 17-year-old receptionist, a hot 17-year-old receptionist, it's you know, it's easier said than done, my friend.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
she
saying?
Had started working at our friend Morrissey's law firm for about 3 weeks, and a dude who was 55 at the time took her to dinner more than once. They engaged in repeated consensual acts of sexual intercourse. at the office, according to court documents. Yeah. One of the encounters, I guess, they were sending text messages to their friends simultaneously during the sex act. So, letting everybody know what happened.
Exactly. A former head honcho over there at Tinder is suing the company that she apparently co-founded, claiming her co-founders acted like frat boys and called her a whore. That's what it says. It called her a whore. All right.
So she is suing them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't really, you know, can you sue because they called you a whore?
I don't know. But she really is upset over the whole thing.
Yeah. Speaking of whores, pick alert for you, Carmen Electra.
Yay.
Beautiful. In
not a
Galore
whore.
Magazine.
Not a whore.
Not a whore, in my opinion.
A delicious piece of machinery.
Yes, wonderful in Galore Magazine. Check that out. There's plenty more at newsforguys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary. He's Dino.
That's so obvious.
Check out the podcast. GaryandDino.com is where you find it. There's a brand new show every single Friday. GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
Devin Bronson is back with us to talk about the black box, but this time instead of him talking about it or my talking about it, many P1 listeners like you have been writing to Devin and the folks at BN Audio to tell them how happy they are with the black box. What are people saying?
Yeah, the email response has been great, and I wanted to share a few of those with you today. One was from Robert in Escondido. He wrote, "After plugging my iPod into the black box, my ears were very pleased. Thank you for a great product and exceptional service." We love that. Next was Stephen Kurtz wrote us, "My neighbors hate me now." That was good.
That's how you know it's good.
Yep, he's using it. Next was from Matt Hardy in Maui, out in Hawaii. He bought three of these from us. He wrote, "I am blown away. I cannot believe the sound that came out of such a small box."
Now, this is very exciting. If someone listening now has been turned on by hearing what other P1s are saying, how do they get a black box?
They can go to our website. It's bnaudio.com, and they can enter the promo code Tom in their checkout and get 20% off.
Don't take my word for it. Take the word of other satisfied P1 listeners. People are buying that black box like crazy. Just go to bnaudio.com, enter the promo code Tom, and get 20% off. You're going to love the black box.
This is the new normal.